Hey everyone, and welcome to the Deep Dive. You know, we love to pick a topic and really get into the details.
Really dissect it.
Exactly. And today is no different. We are diving into vacation time and pay in Ontario.
Ooh, yeah, a good one.
And we're going to be focusing specifically on the Employment Standards Act, or ESA.
Which lays out all those minimum standards,
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah,
So,
important to know.
yeah, if you're working in Ontario, this is for you.
Absolutely. Or even if you're just thinking about working in Ontario, because knowledge is power, right?
Absolutely.
We are working with a guide from the Ontario government's website.
The source of truth.
So it was last updated November 14th, 2024. So it is up to date as of right now, as of recording this.
Very recent.
So the first thing that I wanted to talk about that kind of surprised me is that in Ontario, we have this two-part system.
Okay.
It's vacation time and vacation pay.
Yes, they are separate, but they are connected.
Right.
They go hand in hand.
So it's not just about like how many days you get off, but also how much you get paid for those days.
Correct.
So even if you decide to work through your vacation, you are still entitled to that vacation pay.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that's really cool about Ontario's laws.
Okay.
They're really trying to protect employees' right to rest and recharge.
I love that.
Yeah, but of course, there are rules around all of this.
Right.
The amount of vacation time you get depends on how long you've been with an employer.
Right. So less than 5 years gets you 2 weeks, and then 5 or more years bumps you up to 3 weeks.
Exactly.
Pretty standard.
Yeah.
But then there's this whole vacation entitlement year.
Yes.
I'll admit, this one tripped me up a bit when I first read about it.
Yeah, it's a key concept.
Okay.
Think of it as the 12-month cycle that you earn vacation time over, and usually it starts on your hiring date.
Okay.
So let's just say our listener, we'll call her Ava.
Yeah.
She started a new job today, January 6th.
Okay.
Her vacation entitlement year would run from today until January 5th of next year,
Got it.
a full 12 months.
Makes sense. But I also read that employers can also set a different 12-month period, right? What happens then?
Yeah, that's where the stub period comes in.
Okay.
So it's basically that like awkward bit of time between when you're hired and when the employer's official vacation year starts.
Okay.
So let's say Ava's company uses the calendar year, so January to December,
Okay.
for their vacation year.
Right.
But because Ava started working today, January 6th, she would have a stub period from now until December 31st.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this works.
Yeah.
So during that stub period, does Ava still earn vacation time?
Yes, absolutely.
Nah.
She earns it proportionally.
Okay.
So let's say Ava works a regular 5-day week. During her stub period, she'd be earning about 1.6 weeks of vacation time.
So even though it's not a full year, she's still racking up some time off.
Exactly. And it's important to know that.
But what if she doesn't work a regular schedule? Like, what if she works different hours every week?
Good question. There's a different calculation for that, which takes into account the average number of days worked per week during the stub period.
Okay.
But the main idea is that regardless of your schedule, you're still earning vacation time right from the start.
That's reassuring.
Yes.
So let's say Ava's worked for a year. She's earned her vacation time, but she's a workaholic. She loves her job.
Okay.
Can she just skip the vacation and keep working?
Well, she could choose to give up the actual time off,
Okay.
but only with the employer's and the Director of Employment Standards approval.
Wow. So she needs both
She needs
to
both.
sign off on that.
Yes. But here's the kicker. She still gets paid for it.
What?
Vacation pay in Ontario is a right, regardless of whether you take the time off.
Wow, that's a pretty strong protection for employees.
Yeah.
So even if you're super dedicated to your job, you're still entitled to that time off in a way.
Exactly.
It's like the law is saying, hey, you deserve a break, even if you don't think you do.
Exactly. It's all about recognizing the importance of rest and recharging.
Yeah, and not burning out.
Exactly.
Perfect. All right, so we've covered kind of the basics of vacation time and this interesting concept of stub periods.
Yes.
When we come back, we will get into the nitty-gritty of vacation pay,
Ooh, the numbers.
how it's calculated, what's included, and what happens in different scenarios. So stay with us.
And we are back for part two of our deep dive into
Vacation time.
vacation time and pay in Ontario.
All the good stuff.
All the good stuff. So we are getting into vacation pay.
That's right, the thing that actually lets us take that time off.
Yes. The reason that we actually look forward to those out-of-office messages.
That's the one.
Okay, so let's break it down.
Right.
Vacation pay is calculated as a percentage of your earnings, right?
That's correct. It's a percentage of your gross wages.
Okay.
Earned during that entitlement year or stub period that we talked about earlier.
Okay, so gross wages, that means before taxes and all that.
Exactly. Yeah. And the percentage you get depends on how long you've been with the company.
Ah, so that less than 5 years versus five or more years comes into play again? It does.
Okay.
If you've been with your employer for less than 5 years, your vacation pay is 4% of your gross earnings.
Okay.
But once you hit that five-year mark, it bumps up to 6%.
Nice little bonus for sticking around.
It is. It is.
But what happens if you hit that five-year milestone during the entitlement year? Like, do you get a mix of the four and the six?
Nope. You get the full 6%.
Wow.
It's all or nothing.
I like it.
So as long as you reach 5 years of service at any point during that entitlement year, you get the higher rate.
Okay.
It applies to all of your earnings for that year.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. I am a big believer in learning by example.
Okay.
So can you give us some real life scenarios of how this calculation works?
Absolutely. Let's imagine someone who's working part-time.
Okay.
We'll call him Quinn.
Okay, Quinn.
He's been at his company for 7 years. So a solid amount of time and earned $16,000 over the past year. So because he's past that five-year mark, he gets the 6% vacation pay, which means he'd be getting $960 for his vacation time.
Not bad.
Not bad at all for part-time.
Not bad at all. Okay, now I'm thinking back to Ava, our listener, who just started her new job today.
Yes.
She's in that stub period, remember?
Yes.
How would we calculate her vacation pay?
Good question. Let's say for simplicity that Ava earns the same hourly rate as Quinn.
Okay.
And also brings in $16,000 during her stub period.
Okay.
Now, because she has less than 5 years of service,
right,
her vacation pay rate is 4%.
Okay.
So she'd be getting $640 in vacation pay for that initial period.
Got it. So even though it's not a full year, she's still entitled to a pretty decent chunk of change.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, when we talk about gross wages for this calculation, what exactly counts?
Yeah, that's a big question.
Like, is it just your base salary or are there other things that factor in?
Mm-hmm.
What about overtime?
Good question. Overtime pay is definitely included.
Okay.
In your gross wages for vacation pay calculations.
Yeah.
So are non-discretionary bonuses.
Okay.
Public holiday pay and even things like termination pay or allowances for room and board.
Wow. I had no idea all of that was factored in.
Yeah, it can really make a difference.
Okay.
But it's important to know what's not included.
Right.
Things like tips, discretionary bonuses, or employer contributions to benefit plans don't count towards that calculation.
Okay, so really important to understand that those distinctions, especially if you're in a job where you're getting tips or bonuses.
Yes, absolutely. Knowing what's in and what's out is key.
Okay.
For making sure you're getting what you're owed.
Love it. All right. So we've calculated it all out.
Mm-hmm.
We know what's included, what's not included.
Okay.
When do I actually get this money?
Right. So typically it's paid out as a lump sum before you take your vacation time.
Right. That nice little pre-vacation bonus.
Exactly.
But there are some exceptions.
There are a few exceptions.
Yeah, there are.
For instance, if you're taking vacation in smaller chunks, like a day here and there, then you get paid on your regular payday for that week.
Okay.
So you don't have to wait for a big lump sum if you're just taking a short little break.
Okay, makes sense. What are some of the other exceptions?
Well, you can also agree with your employer in writing.
Okay.
To have your vacation pay added to each regular paycheck.
So instead of getting one big chunk, you're just getting smaller bits throughout the year.
Exactly. It's all about finding an arrangement that works for both you and your employer.
Absolutely.
And of course, if your wages are paid by direct deposit, you'll receive your vacation pay on or before your regular payday.
Mm-hmm.
For the period you're taking vacation.
Okay. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Okay. So lots of flexibility there.
Yes.
Now let's talk about a situation that I think a lot of people might have questions about.
Right.
What happens to vacation pay if you leave your job?
That's a good question. The good news is you're entitled to any earned but unpaid vacation pay.
Okay.
Even if you've moved on to a different job, it's your money.
I love that.
It is.
So those days you put in but didn't take time off for, they don't just disappear.
No. They do not disappear.
Yeah.
You are owed that money.
That's amazing.
So, for example, let's say Ava decides to quit after working for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
She'd be entitled to the vacation pay she earned during that time, even though she didn't take the actual vacation days.
Amazing. So even if you don't work a full year, you still get a portion of that vacation pay based on the time that you did work?
Exactly.
Okay.
And your employer has to pay you that owed vacation pay pretty quickly after you leave.
Okay.
So within 7 days of your termination date,
mm-hmm.
or on what would have been your next regular payday, whichever comes later.
Okay, so there's a clear timeline in place. That's good to know.
Yes.
Now, what if you leave your job mid-year, like before your vacation entitlement year is up?
Another great question. So let's imagine another listener, we'll call him Jocelyn.
Okay, Jocelyn.
Starts a new job on June 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And the company's vacation entitlement year runs from January 1st to December 31st.
Yep.
So Jocelyn has a stub period from June 1st to December 31st.
Got it.
Now, let's say Jocelyn gets a fantastic job offer in October.
Ooh, lucky Jocelyn.
And decides to leave.
Okay.
Even though he hasn't completed a full vacation entitlement year,
mm-hmm.
he's still entitled to vacation pay
for
the time he worked.
So he'd get vacation pay based on his earnings from June to October?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The law makes sure you're compensated for the time you put in, even if you don't stick around for the full year.
I love that this is so helpful. I feel like we're really getting into the nitty-gritty.
We are.
Of vacation pay and all of its different scenarios.
There are a lot.
And when we come back, we're going to tackle a couple more juicy topics.
Ooh, yes.
So stay tuned.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. We've been talking about vacation time and pay in Ontario, and I feel like I've already learned so much.
It's really interesting stuff when you get into the weeds of it.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it than I realized, but there are a couple of other scenarios that I want to make sure that we touch on.
Because I feel like a lot of listeners probably have experienced these.
Mm-hmm.
So first up, what happens when a public holiday falls right in the middle of your vacation?
Ooh, good question.
Yeah.
Yeah, does it eat up one of your vacation days?
Right.
Well, Ontario's Employment Standards Act has good news for you on that front.
Okay, lay it on me.
So you actually have a couple of options.
Okay.
So let's say you've planned a nice week-long vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't you know, it one of those days happens to be Canada Day.
Oh.
You don't lose out on that vacation day.
Okay, good.
So your first option is to get a substitute day off.
Okay.
With public holiday pay. So you can basically shift that Canada Day to a different day.
So I could tack it on to the end of my vacation and make it 8 days long.
Exactly. Or take a random Friday off, you know, a few weeks later.
Love that.
So you have flexibility there.
Okay.
And that substitute day has to be taken within 3 months of the public holiday.
Okay.
Unless you and your employer agree to extend it to 12 months.
Okay. So lots of options there.
Yes. What's the other option?
Well, the other option.
Your employer can just pay you public holiday, pay for that day without giving you a day off.
So if I'm happy to just have like the extra cash and not necessarily another day off, that's also on the table?
That is an option. But remember, it has to be something that you agree to.
Right.
In writing.
Okay.
No sneaky employers taking away your days off without your consent.
Got it. So whether I want an extra day off or I want some bonus pay, I'm covered.
You're covered.
Love it. All right. So another scenario that I want to talk about is leaves of absence.
Okay.
So how do things like parental leave or sick leave affect vacation time and pay?
Yeah. Does it stop accruing?
Yeah.
That's another really great question and one that causes a lot of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
So the good news is that most types of leave.
Okay.
Covered by the ESA, so things like pregnancy leave,
mm-hmm.
parental leave, sick leave,
mm-hmm.
family responsibility leave, bereavement leave.
Okay.
They all count towards your vacation entitlement year.
So even if I'm not physically at work, that time still counts towards my vacation accrual.
Exactly. You're still employed, right?
Right.
Even though you're taking time away for these really important life events.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's say you're on parental leave.
Okay.
For 6 months out of the year.
Okay.
You'll still have earned a full 2 weeks of vacation time.
Gotcha. But what about vacation pay? Is that affected by leaves of absence?
Yeah. So your vacation pay will be calculated based on the wages you actually earned.
Right.
During that year. So it might be a bit less if you were on unpaid leave.
Right.
For part of the year. But the important thing is that vacation time keeps accruing, regardless of, you know, whether you're physically at work or you're on leave.
Okay, that makes sense. But what if your employment contract says something different?
Okay.
Like I've seen before where it says, like, vacation time is earned through active service. Mm. Like, what does that even mean?
Yes. The dreaded active service clause. This is where things can get a little bit tricky. Some contracts might try to say that you only earn vacation time.
Okay.
While you're physically at work.
Mm-hmm.
But the key takeaway here is that the ESA sets the minimum standard.
Right.
Your contract can give you more than the ESA.
Okay.
But it can't give you less.
So the ESA is like a safety net.
Exactly. It's a safety net.
Yeah.
It makes sure that even if your contract's trying to shortchange you, you're still getting what you're legally entitled to.
I love a good safety net. Okay.
Yes.
So let's say hypothetically, Jocelyn has a contract that says he earns 3 weeks of paid vacation for every year of active service.
Okay.
But he takes an 8-month parental leave during the year.
Mm-hmm.
So according to his contract, he would have only earned 1 week of vacation time because he was only actively working for 4 months.
Right.
But the ESA says he's guaranteed at least 2 weeks.
At least two.
So his employer would have to top that up.
Exactly.
Wow, I love that. So even though his contract tried to penalize him for taking parental leave, the ESA stepped in and said, no, no, no.
That's right.
We got you.
The ESA is there to protect you.
Love it. And there's another protection for people on leave, right?
Yes.
Like, you have the right to defer your vacation time until after your leave is over.
Yes, especially if you're on an unpaid leave.
Right.
You wouldn't want to have to use your vacation days just to get paid.
Right.
While you're taking care of, you know, a newborn or dealing with a health issue.
Exactly. And that applies even if your contract says otherwise.
It does. The ESA overrides any conflicting terms in your contract when it comes to leaves of absence.
I mean, okay. So how do we know that all of this is being tracked properly?
That's a good question.
Are employers required to keep records of our vacation time and pay?
Absolutely they are.
Okay, good.
They have to keep detailed records of your vacation time earned,
mm-hmm.
vacation time taken, vacation pay earned, and vacation pay paid.
Okay.
And you have the right to request
okay.
a statement of those records in writing at any time.
So if I'm feeling unsure or I want to double check, I can just ask my employer for a breakdown.
Absolutely. Transparency is key, and they have to provide that information.
What?
Within 7 days of your request or on your next payday, whichever comes later.
Amazing. This is so helpful. I feel like we've really covered it all from A to Z.
Yeah, I think we've hit all the highlights.
All the highlights. But this is obviously just a starting point.
It is.
If anyone has specific questions or concerns about their own situation, you know, always consult with the Ministry of Labor or maybe seek legal advice.
It's always best to get that extra clarification if you need it.
Absolutely. Knowing your rights is the first step towards advocating for yourself and making sure you're getting everything you deserve.
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. Thank you so much for joining us for this vacation law deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
I hope everyone learned something. And until next time, stay curious and keep learning.